it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have all three of those guys. We'll get their first real practice today. You know, so again, managing expectations, let's get them integrated and get them rolling here. There's certainly a conditioning piece. There's a physical piece to it as well. And then there's a schematic piece to it also. So just trying to manage expectations and just take it one step at a time right now, one day at a time.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday as the Bills got back to work. It was media day yesterday. We got our first official injury reports. And on that, three players did not practice. Daquan Jones, Josh Palmer, and Taylor Rapp. But with that, to what McDermott was saying there, Harrison was limited, Hoyt full, Larry Ogunjobi full. And four more on the Bills. We go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio does join the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
So right off the bat for the Bills, the story I think everyone's going to be keeping an eye on now is Maxwell Harrison. He was limited yesterday. What did you see, Sal, from the limited time the media gets to see practice from him? I know some of the videos were very encouraging, at least to me.
Yeah, for sure. For me, too. I think the explosiveness, change of direction, fluidity, it was all there. You saw it on full display. This is the player that was the fastest player at the combine and a big reason why the Bills drafted him, you know, to add speed and explosion into the secondary. Obviously, unfortunately, he has the sprained knee in training camp, so he wasn't able to participate anymore after that. But I think going out there and watching him yesterday, even through knowing that he had been rehabbing, he had the brace on, we had seen him for a couple of weeks out there with a trainer, I was really encouraged. I was really impressed. So, all signs pointing up, I guess, arrow up for the way Max Harrison looked at practice yesterday.
And his speed, too, Sal, it looks very effortless. Like, I mean, that was the big thing of when they drafted him was, you know, it's late in the first round, and you're getting a guy with an A-plus trait. It was his speed. He's a little bit smaller than maybe you'd want. He's coming from Kentucky, right? It's not that premier program or what have you. But in those videos I saw yesterday from both you and your colleagues, man, his speed is effortless.
Yeah, that's right. And, you would think because of the injury, because the brace and all of that, and we couldn't tell for sure. I think he was still wearing a brace underneath. He had pants on, sweats on. I think he still had a brace underneath. But you'd think there'd be a bit of hitch there. I didn't see it. And I want to stop myself even short of going, oh, can he play this week, next week? And I think that might be a little too early, a little ambitious, a little bit, putting the cart before the horse. We'll see, though. We'll see what the Bills' plan is for him. But I thought he looked really good. And, of course, the mental part of it, the reps, being on the field, knowing the defense, understanding, you know, where to be, when to be there. That's got to come as well before the Bills are comfortable putting him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Sal, then I did want to, before I forget, another question in the secondary. Taylor Rapp did not practice yesterday, a knee injury. Remind me if I'm wrong. It sounded like yesterday McDermott was mentioning that he's been dealing with this since, you know, before the season started. That could maybe point to some of the issues he's had this year on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it is something that McDermott said he'd been dealing with for some time now, since before the season started. And I will point out that on Monday night in the game against the Atlanta Falcons, towards the end of the game, he did come out briefly. And I don't recall if he finished that last series on defense, but I remember he did come out, but it was towards the end of the game, so we didn't have an official injury report on him. So that could have been knee-related as well. Also, Sean McDermott kind of didn't really know it yesterday's time if it would be more of a week-to-week or day-to-day type thing. They're still evaluating it. But obviously, it does not sound like Taylor Rapp's in a position right now to be able to be counted on and to be available on Sunday. So what happens there is you're probably looking at Jordan Poyer once again coming in as he was elevated last week. He's still on the practice squad. They have to either elevate him or sign him to the 53. They do have an open roster spot on the 53, but you might need that at defensive tackle because Zion Logue has no elevations left, and they're down to three healthy defensive tackles, even with Larry Ogunjobi coming back, because Daquan Jones is out, obviously, right now.
Sticking on the injuries here, Sal, of course, that's brought to you by the Barnstrom Injured for Help Call, 1-800-8-MILLION. You mentioned it. Daquan Jones also has a DNP on there. Josh Palmer did not practice as well after he suffered that injury in the Atlanta game early on, and it looks like he has not taken part in any snaps Wednesday either.
Right. So now the Bills, you know, will look to the other five wide receivers at this point on the roster, because they have six, and they traditionally go with five or six. It has been both. Sometimes it's six, sometimes it's five, with either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore inactive. It is important to point out that Curtis Samuel is still on the injury list with his ribs injury. He did practice yesterday, though, in a limited capacity, so that's good. So if you don't have Joshua Palmer, and the way it sounds from Sean McDermott, you're not going to have him, because he's called him week to week, and he didn't even rule out Palmer or Daquan Jones going on IR eventually, so we'll see where that goes. And that means that, obviously, the other five wide receivers you'd still have available for you would be Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, if he can go, Elijah Moore, and Tyrell Shavers, and then you do have Christian Wilkerson and Steven Gosnell on the practice squad.
Going now to some of the full participants. The cavalry has somewhat arrived for the Bills defense, Sal, with Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I know both spoke with the media. I did see one clip from Hoyt mentioning that for the first time in a little while, he got to be a football fan and was, you know, yelling at his TV, the whole thing, but he's ready to go. And yeah, I mean, Sal, I think you even mentioned it yesterday with us that it's sort of like, kind of like almost like a new season, because we're getting so many players back that you just haven't heard from or seen in so many weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, three defenders, two of them should play. I can't see Ogunjobi or Hoyt not playing this week. I think that's going to happen. They're going to play. I don't know about Max Harrison. I don't think he'll play this week. You never know. We'll see where it goes with him, but probably not him. But Ogunjobi has to play. I mean, even with him added, and you only have, like I said, three healthy defensive linemen, Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, and him, you could still elevate Jordan Phillips again. Zion Logue, like I said, would have to be signed. Fedarian Mathis can be elevated, but that's it, guys. So they need Larry Ogunjobi to play. They need him to play meaningful snaps, actually, this weekend. Yeah. He's got to be a healthy part of that rotation. So that would give you four defensive tackles, and then counting somebody they bring up from the practice squad. And then you have six defensive ends right now when you add Michael Hoyt in. Now, Michael Hoyt's a bit of a different kind of defensive end. He can play around different parts of the line of scrimmage. He can kick him inside. He can stand up. He can play strong side linebacker if you'd like. He can drop in coverage. So he's kind of a little bit of a chess piece that you can move around the board a little bit. He can play in different situations. And I think that's really, honestly, the reason why the Bills even signed him in the first place, to have those options. But I can see him playing right away. People have to remember, unlike Max Harrison coming off the injury, right? These guys are coming off a suspension list, and they've been able to work out on their own and then even work out with the Bills for the last 3 weeks. They've been at the facility for the last 3 weeks. They just couldn't practice with their team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's different to integrate. And I think a lot, I'd say, smoother and easier to be able to integrate. They did have a lot of reps in preseason and training camp because the team knew this was going to happen.
Curious guys to watch for on Sunday against Carolina, how much they're really going to go. And so, I mean, we listened to the clip from McDermott kind of mentioning, you know, the integration and maybe tempering a little bit of expectation. But as you mentioned, they don't have a whole lot of healthy D tackles. Ogunjobi's going to have to play meaningful snaps. So it'll be curious to see how they do deploy both of those guys.
Yeah, and obviously you're going against a really, really good run offense again in the Carolina Panthers. So they need to be better against the run. And I think these guys can help them against the run. Larry Ogunjobi, his anchor, I mean, his legs, oh my God, they're like tree trunks, right? They're huge. And he's an anchor. And he's a guy that can kind of help out in the run game right there. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to be able to, you know, mix in with Deion Walker, with Ed Oliver. And then, of course, you bring in Michael Hoyt as well. And he's a guy that's going to have to be also stout in the run game. But you're going to ask him to do a few different things, obviously, and to get after the passer in those situations as well.
Panthers injury report looks a little enviable in a lot of ways, except for, you know, the starting quarterback. Bryce Young, the only player to miss practice for injury-related reasons. Sal, when it comes to it, we talked about it already, that it might even be kind of scarier to see Andy Dalton in the lineup instead of Bryce Young. Young considered day-to-day by head coach Dave Canales.
Yeah, interesting yesterday that Bryce Young did go out to practice out on the field. He didn't have a boot on. The reporters who were out there said there was no significant type of limp, but he also didn't practice at all, right? So what does that tell me? they're putting him out there just to get some reps throwing the ball, maybe off to the side, working with trainers. But he's probably not, you know, on track to play on Sunday. It's a non-conference game for them. Obviously, they'd love to have their young quarterback, but they have a stable veteran back there, a guy that's seen everything in this league. And when you bring in a team like the Buffalo Bills coming off a bye who would have a plan to say, okay, we're going to get after this young quarterback and show him some things he hasn't seen, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have Andy Dalton back there who can kind of stabilize things, settle things down. And I would say from my perspective, I think that the Bills, to me, would rather face Bryce Young. Like, that's my opinion. I'd rather see the Bills face Bryce Young as far as chances to win. Now, that said, Bryce Young is more mobile, and mobile quarterbacks have hurt the Bills this year, right? Andy Dalton, he's a guy, though, that's seen every defense in this league. He's seen the Bills defense multiple times. He knows where to put the ball. He knows where to go with it. He does have a young wide receiver core that he'll be working with. But last year, when Andy Dalton was inserted, the first game he played when he went in for Bryce Young, he threw over 300 yards against the Raiders. Like, yeah. Bam, see ya. Like, it's like he comes in and he gives you a spark right there. So I expect that to be something for them. But, guys, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't lose to Andy Dalton, right? You can't lose to Andy Dalton.
Cannot.
And the Bills, this game isn't about Andy Dalton or Bryce Young, really. This game is about stopping Rico Dowdell and Chuba Hubbard and about scoring on your offensive side.
Sal, on that, I mean, you mentioned you can't lose to Andy Dalton. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, me and Derek, right at the top of the show. Like, yes, it's not a conference game. Yes, it's the Carolina Panthers. But it does feel very important. They've never really lost three straight in this run here. McDermott's 8-0 off the bye in his coaching career. And there, I think there's a wavering patience for Bills fans with this era, with this coaching staff, with really this whole regime. And if all of a sudden the wheels seemingly start to fall off, and again, it's only they'd be 4-3, they're still in a solid position. But this game does feel like it has some level of magnitude for a Sunday non-conference 1 p.m. game.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the Bills over the last several years, I think it's 6 years, Sal Majorana asked this to Sean McDermott. I think each year over the last 6 years, they've lost two straight at some point.
Yeah.
And as you said, not
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On wood, they've never lost three straight. The difference has basically been, though, there hasn't been a challenger in the AFC East to have to pass them and then them have to catch up. Now, the 1 year, remember, The Patriots came to Buffalo in the windy Monday night game, and the Patriots were ahead of the Bills in the standings at that point, right? After that, the Bills eventually caught up. There was another year where the Dolphins were ahead of the Bills, and they kind of collapsed in December. But the Patriots have a schedule here that's going to lend themselves to keep winning games. And if the Bills drop another one, and they've already dropped head-to-head to the Patriots, now suddenly you are talking about not only can you win the division, you're talking about are they a team that's going to make the playoffs? And I know that sounds a bit hyperbolic, but it's not. I mean, you can't go to 4-3 here with the Kansas City Chiefs on the horizon in a week.
Absolutely. And I wonder too, Sal, how much watching Drake May play and him kind of do something we've yet to see Tua Tagovailoa do. Like, Tua was the secondary to Josh Allen for all these years, and we've seen the Bills just kind of, you know, brush them aside. May comes in his second year and maybe already looks more impressive with, I would say, definitely worse weapons outside of Stephon Diggs. He's very good, but Hill in his prime, Waddle, Achane. I mean, that offense was loaded for those few years. And May already comes in and in many aspects is a top 10 quarterback. I mean, last week it's against Tennessee, but he completes 91% of his passes or 90% of his passes. Tom Brady didn't even do that. And just, you know, I know we all don't like him, but if you can do something for the New England Patriots that Tom Brady did not do, I think it is somewhat cause for concern for opposing fans.
No doubt. Now, look, they are facing a really good Cleveland Browns defense this
week.
Yes,
they are.
Right? And that's going to be a challenge. But, man, I just – the Browns, how can they score? Right? I mean, I can't imagine the Browns putting up enough points. This will probably be a low-scoring game. The Browns will do a decent job against – you know, if Drake May – and the New England offense goes out there and just lights up the Cleveland Browns, then you're like, woof, I mean, take notice right there, right? But at the same time, even if they don't, I just don't know if the Browns can score. The Browns right now, despite how poor they are as a team and how they look. Now, they did beat the Green Bay Packers, and they did beat the Miami Dolphins. Let's remember that. And I know Miami's not that great, but I want to at least throw that out there. They are in their rankings, total yards given up per game, first in the league at only 256. Rushing yards per game, 82, fourth in the league. Passing yards per game, third at 173. So I think the Browns have a fighting chance if they can turn the ball turn the Patriots over a couple of times and get some short fields and make some points. But at the same time, I just don't think they can score enough points against the Patriots, even if keeping it a low-scoring game against that offense.
Right. We do get the week underway tonight with Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, by the way, getting another start in Minnesota. I've been one to say it. I'm a J.J. McCarthy truther. I kind of fell for him during that draft process. He had like one good quarter of football against Chicago, and that was kind of about it. But I'm about done with Carson Wentz. As a neutral fan, I'm about done watching him play.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what they have in J.J. McCarthy either.
No idea. But they've got to find out soon, right?
Can we remember that last year they had Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones on their roster?
I'm so glad you brought that up. We need to talk about Kevin O'Connell being a QB whisperer, because Daniel Jones spent 6 months in Minneapolis. He goes to Indianapolis, and he's a man reborn.
Yeah, I don't know what the dynamics were behind the scenes of why, what the contract situation and all those that could play into it, but they had Daniel Jones in their building. And look what he's doing right now in Indy. And they had Sam Darnold in their building, and obviously he was very good for them, but at the way the season ended, probably left a sour taste in everybody's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But now look what's happening in Seattle with him. And then, of course, J.J. McCarthy just does not look like he's ready yet for the NFL in a big role. Interesting game tonight, though, because I think this a lot about the AFC West. Even when I was watching the Broncos-Giants this weekend, and now you have the Chargers playing the Vikings tonight. Mm-hmm. You could look at it one of two ways from a Bills perspective and a Bills fans perspective, which is, do you want the Vikings to beat the Chargers and give another NFC team an AFC loss, right? That would be the normal thing you root for all the time, which is all AFC teams just lose to NFC teams because that's less chances for that team to catch the Bills. Mm-hmm. Or do you want the Chargers to win and remain a game up on the Chiefs because they already have a head-to-head and they would be 5-3? And the Chiefs right now aren't even in a playoff spot. Like, is that something you root for? I think it's a tough call.
Yeah, absolutely. And, for tonight, too, the Chargers started the year off hot. They lose both their tackles, Rashawn Slater before the year, Joe Alt during the year, and that luster has worn off for them very, very quickly. I think they'll beat Minnesota tonight, but they went from that feeling of, hey, there's your AFC West contender, to very quickly they're 4-3 and sitting in a situation where it could all kind of fall apart for them. Sal, before we let you go here, the schedule for today, and then, of course, tomorrow, you'll be in these chairs, got Sean McDermott and such, leading into Sunday.
Yeah, guys, so today, the Bills will be back on the practice field, 12:25 p.m. They'll have practice today. We'll talk with players again. We'll see how things go with injuries. We'll take a look, and, we didn't talk too much today, and we can talk a little bit more tomorrow about Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and how they've looked throughout the week, how they progressed. Dalton Kincaid, those are guys that were also limited but practicing, so we'll see a little bit more about them. And then tomorrow, Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio interview, and got a couple other things along the way as well tomorrow on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Sounds good, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. By the way, already the first name I've sent to Sal as potentially a new Syracuse quarterback. Braden Fowler Niklausi, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Colorado State quarterback. Hit the transfer portal yesterday. I don't know if he's any good. I don't think he is, but he had a lot of hype two years ago.
I love that it took you less than 24 hours to back up your word.
Always ready. Always ready for a fight. I'm always ready. Again, no idea if he's any good. I've watched him play two games, and neither one was I impressed. But he hit the portal yesterday because their coach, Jay Norvell, was fired a few weeks ago.
Well, I'm going to intercept what you're doing here, just like how we can make sure to help you let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence help intercept your heating bills. Enter at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends on January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. I do wonder, at some point when it comes to how this Bills season has been going, by the way, like, I feel like this week for me, it's been a little mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bills themselves, we just need to see them on the field again.
Yep.
It's been a long bye week.
It's been a very long
bye week. It's been a long bye week. And that'll always happen when you have a loss. But it also has not helped, I guess, in my case, that the hockey team has looked interesting in that time off.
No, I mean, like,
someone would tell me, like, there are six games, there's six Sabres games between the next Bills game, just to help you with the bitter taste in your mouth on that, I saw that as a threat.
Yeah, it really did depend on who said it to you, if it was a threat or not.
Well, they were also 0-3 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And did not look competitive in the slightest.
No.
All of a sudden, through four of those six games in between the last time that the Bills have played, they've looked good.
Yeah,
it's been so fun. So, thank you, Sabres, for making my time away from the Bills actually relatively enjoyable.
Palatable. I mean, really. Like, I've enjoyed it. Because initially when it was, you're going to have, this week, four Sabres games before the next Bills game, I was like, this could get painful fast. Instead, it's been pretty good. And we're only through two of them, and Friday and Saturday could be rough. But at least it's the weekend. I'll deal with it.
And we'll read plenty of your tweets coming up on the other side here as well, because a lot of you have really wanted to get involved with that conversation today. I, however, want to mention something from last night. Calgary. The Saddle Dome. The lights.
Yeah, lights were out.
Half on. And it reminded me, for those that know, you know what I'm about to say, okay? If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. This joke is going to probably clear a lot of you, and I understand that. But that reminded me of 11 o'clock games at Hockey Outlet, okay?
Just sounds cheap. I'm sorry.
No, it, like,
yeah.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
They were trying to get the lights going, and eventually they're like, screw it, we're playing.
Kept going. But yeah, that's just like one of those, that's a barley game at Hockey Outlet, baby. Let's go.
803.
Fun time all around.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll read your tweets and your calls as well when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.